We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name is Kevin King.
And I'm Steve Minnick, and Kevin and I will be your facilitators for this call, Over 60 and Loving Life.
If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300.
Or if you're calling in from outside the United States, make sure you use the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Well, Kevin, we had a very interesting conversation, not only with Dwight Goldwyn from China last Wednesday at our regular Over 60 and Loving Life call, a 70-year-old man, but we also furthered our conversation with him just within the last couple of days. And so we've spoken with him quite a bit in just this short period of time. And one of the things that I found fascinating about the call that we recently had with him is that he wrote a book. And I haven't asked him very many questions about this book that he wrote, but one of the intriguing things was that it took him 4 years to finish the book.
Right.
And how did he finally finish it, Kevin?
He said he started off fine, but the only way he could actually finish the book was to hire an attractive young Chinese gal to sit next to him and help him finish the book.
Yeah.
Which I think is fantastic. If I'm going to write a book, trust me, I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to have to clear that with Chris first. I don't know if she's going to be thoroughly excited about that. But no, I can appreciate that. I can start really strong. I need good backup to make sure that I've surrounded myself with people that are great at follow-through as I'm learning to be better at it myself. So that was a joy there. But it was interesting. Go ahead.
A suggestion that Mark gave us was to get a driver on our team because neither you nor I are strong drivers. And maybe that's the way to finish the book, not just having an attractive young Chinese woman, but having somebody that would ask the right questions and would prod and would have the goal of helping you to get the project done. Well, that's what a driver is. Maybe if you were to pay somebody to make sure that you got the job done, that would be really what that's all about and helping you complete the task.
Hang on a sec. Somebody just walked into the studio. Hang on a sec. Hello, Steve. Hi. My Monica. Move quick. Move quick. Go faster because you're too lazy. So Dwight and so Kevin, he talk all the time. We don't need to do that. Go make money. Make people happy. Go over 60, run any life. Bye. See, that's what we needed.
Is that the driver alter ego from China?
No, a Chinese lady walked in my door just as we were doing that segment.
Well,
Steve,
that is amazing.
That's exactly what we need.
That's incredible. Oh, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I think that one of the reasons why this strategy works so well for Dwight is because he connects so well across not only a cultural gap, but across a generational gap. And so 70-year-old guy, and he hangs around with 20-something people. These are people that could easily be the age of his grandkids, right?
Oh,
that
absolutely.
I just find fascinating. I find it absolutely fascinating because the real question for a lot of people when they're over 60 and maybe not loving life is they may ask the question, well, do I really feel valued? And they probably don't. You know, and
the next
they may think that they don't have anything to contribute. And those are both wrong. I mean, they have a lot to contribute. But I think part of it is our culture here in the United States. Dwight is experiencing that culture as a U.S.-born and bred and grown-up individual in this Oriental culture, a very old culture. And he feels valued for a lot of reasons, which may not just be because of his circumstances. He may feel valued just because that's who he is inside, and he has knowledge to give, and he wants to share it. But there are the vast majority of people over 60 likely feel, I'm getting closer to dying, and, 65 is the retirement age, but that's how old people were when they used to die, and they're just feeling old, and they're feeling used up and worn out and worthless, no value. But part of it is cultural. We so honor youth that we have people that want to look young. They will actually do surgery. They'll go under the knife and put their own life at risk to look younger. And they'll take all of these supplements and all of it. Maybe that's not needed.
No, it's not. If there's a specific medical condition, I'm not a doctor. I would never say, stop taking your medication. But don't voluntarily go on something because you think that's going to do the difference. See, a lot of people start using things and substances like we can do at any age to mask the real issue, which is we have no drive in life because we have no life vision. And we have no life vision because we didn't think that that was something that was important. We just needed to follow the rules. But the fact is that those are the things that harness the potential that needs to be unleashed. I just recently heard a talk that Arnold Schwarzenegger, of all people, had given to a group of college people in terms of, six steps to success. And the one thing is he said is you have to break some of the rules. You have to break some. I'm not saying be illegal, but you have to break some of the rules. Because people tell you that's the rule, I would have not made it to be successful if I had to. And I thought it was interesting that he said, you have to break some of the rules. And one of the rules is, you're over 60, you're about ready to retire, here's the rocking chair, enjoy. No, listen, this is a new lease on life. It has to be a new lease on life because I've seen too many people that have taken that approach, and we can transplant their DNA of life in their thinking and who they are into other people who maybe don't feel valued and connect them with people that really do honor and value them. They just don't know that they do yet. And I think that this call is actually a bridge to that. There's actually another call I think that's going to be sponsored and spawned and developed as a result of this call, Steve. You want to know the name of it?
Sure. I'm game.
Under 50 and finding yourself.
Under 50 and finding yourself. Hey, I heard a good quote the other day, Kevin.
What's that?
The quote was, 50 is the old age of youth, but 60 is the youth of old age.
Wow. I like that. Can we commandeer that and make money on that, or has that already been copywritten?
I don't think it's been copywritten.
Well, let's make sure. Let's get our legal team on that. Make sure that happens. one of the things that was interesting, I really appreciate it. Dwight's going to be our second author of four, and a new paper that's coming out. It's our 95% has been written, but now we have more material. It's called Over 60 and Loving Life. It's a white paper. You definitely want to get a hold of this. You definitely want to give it to your friends, whether they're over 60 or not, but especially if they are. If they're under 50, get it to them as well. This is kind of an excerpt of something that we're going to be using. I think it's interesting. One of the points that he brought up, because he's going to be one of the contributing authors, as you are, Steve, is that he said people over 60 may or may not be retired. He says, I will never retire. My work is play for me. And if you're still working, find a way to make it play. And if you're not working, then make sure you have activities that you can feel productive at and feel like you are making a difference for others. And I just recently had conversations with people to that effect to say, you've retired, what are you doing? Well, I have a lot of time to do this, this, and this. Well, okay. And they're like, I'm really looking to volunteer over at my church. I go, why? He goes, because I want to do something, that's of value. I wanted to invest into people's lives. And I thought, that's so cool. So it's, we have to find something of value. We have to find something that's going to make us feel younger, no matter what age we are. But especially as we age, we start to have to start breaking some rules. We have to start looking at things that as we still work to make it play, and look at ways to bridge the gap between people that are our age and people that are in their 20s and 30s. Because the people in their 20s and 30s are looking for answers whether they want to ask the questions or not, and they don't know that the people in their 60s are willing to give it to them. But the people in their 60s aren't feeling very valued, so they're not willing to share because they don't think it's very valuable. And that makes no sense to me whatsoever. So if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you say, this is most intriguing. It is most intriguing because whether you're 40, 20 years from now, you're going to be 60. If you're in your 50s like I am now, I got single digits till I'm 60. So get off the can and get on the stick. I'm just trying to help people realize that life is more important than endless rounds of golf I don't know. I mean, if you like golf, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But do something that can make a difference in people's lives. Well, we have a couple people on the show with us today. Karen, you're on the call. What would you like to accomplish?
What I'd like to accomplish is when we look at our life vision, if we've spent time designing and crafting our life vision, keeping that alive in front of us and revisiting that in some way that keeps it pertinent and kind of a driving force to move us forward.
You're asking that for a reason. Maybe you can share.
Well, yesterday when I was in the Coffee Connections, I had shared that I didn't feel like my life vision really was moving me. It looked like or sounded like a nice on paper, and when I said it sounded good, but didn't seem to have the energy behind it that I felt like it had when I crafted it, and that was kind of distressing. So I was asking about that, and what Mark shared in that was that, you know, like recrafting it or adding more words or going out and rewriting it and putting more words down is probably not going to change anything. It may sound good again, but what I probably first drafted is probably pretty true and gives me purpose. It's keeping it in front of me and letting it reflect in all the areas of my life and my work instead of having it be separate from.
Right. So what was it about when you wrote it down, and I believe it is because I've seen your life vision, Karen. You've shared it with me, and I really appreciate that. But I agree with Mark. It is true, and I believe you do have purpose, and it is cause for reflection and keeping it out in front of us to say, even if I don't feel like it, there was something about when I crafted my life vision that was authentic. It was real. It drove me. Can you remember what that energy was that drove you to write those? Because those were your words, right?
Right, and there were several versions as I kind of walked through that and came to what I felt was kind of the most accurate reflection of what I thought my life vision was. It's applying those words and not having them be something that just is words on paper and not verbs for my life.
Right. Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book. I don't know whether you read it or not. It's called The Dream Giver. Highly recommend it. And it's really, the subtitle is Following Your God-Given Destiny. You know, we can develop a good life vision, something that really resonates with who we are, Karen. But I also believe that we can be deceived. We can also have people either knock that down or be deceived by, you know, negative thoughts that are counterproductive, that are trying to tear down that dream that we really do believe in, but now doesn't have the same impact because we're also carrying the weight of whatever negativity, whatever lies maybe we've been told or have started to believe. Because as we get down that road, it's hard. Do you think that that's true? Is it possible that that's kind of crept in, some negativity, or have you gotten any feedback on your negative feedback on your life vision?
No, I've not gotten any negative feedback on it. I think it's, it's an internal thing. I think many times we just second guess ourselves. We question and doubt myself. I can't speak for anybody else but myself. And, another thing that kind of came up is, like when we're talking, just having more words is not necessarily the most effective way to communicate. And so, as was shared by Mark yesterday, going back and adding more words or changing the words probably is not going to resurrect it, for lack of a better term, if I feel like it's become a little bit lifeless. It's maybe going back, like I said, and actually maybe taking the verbs out of that and making them part of my life rather than, something that's, static, for lack of a better term.
Right.
That makes sense.
Well, Mark is on the call here now as well. Welcome, Mark Boersma.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard much of the conversation that Karen had been sharing about her life vision, but I appreciate
did.
The comments that you had made. Is there any other further thoughts that you had or any additional revelation about how maybe she can help overcome that challenge?
Well, I think Karen probably has too high expectations in areas she shouldn't. And that drains her from the energy to enjoy the thrill and the breakthrough. And so, we were talking earlier, and there's good stress and bad stress. And so she said, I think she said she was a four. She was an eight on stress, and she wanted to be a four.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first time in my life, I was able to visualize what that looked like. And so there's four, she's got twice the stress in her life that she'd like to have. Now, what I don't know, or I didn't know until I was sharing with her, is that extra 4 degrees of stress, is that 4 points of stress, is that good stress or bad stress? And what I recognize when we were talking is that it's both good and bad. But if she focuses in on the bad stress, she doesn't have any energy left for the good stress.
And when you say it's good and bad stress at the same point, what do you mean?
Well, good stress causes us to do the things that we should do. Bad stress is we stress over things that we have no control, or even if it did accomplish, it wouldn't make a difference.
Okay. Okay.
And so the bad stress... See, she's not seeing and having a hard time taking other people's compliments. And so she went ahead and said, an example of this in the Mastermind seminars, she went ahead and said, hey, Mark, I just read something about, Mastermind seminars being about veterans in the Chicago chapter. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I haven't heard anything about veterans. I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. Let's do it. And I can't tell you how many people have said the very things that Karen has said. The difference is that Karen is actually doing something about it, and she's got a guy that's a high-level guy doing tons of different things with veterans coming to dinner tonight. I mean, what's up with that? But I don't think that Karen probably... I don't think that Karen probably is patting herself on the back and saying, man, I have succeeded where other people have failed. I'm amazing. I follow through. This life vision's really working for me. I mean, you know how many veterans I could touch from this and this? I mean, this is just this is unbelievable. I don't think she's saying that about herself when she should be giving her high five, herself high five, and patting herself on the back.
Is that Mr. Paulson? Or is there another gentleman coming? Was it Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry.
Excellent. How exciting. Good job,
so
Karen.
The core is that Karen's not taking those, she's not seeing those wins. She doesn't understand the significance of those. She doesn't understand what those things could turn into, and that she is the one that's driving them through. So she's not having the energy. She's not having the energy and the thrill of that massive win that gives her more energy and more passion to drive harder on her life vision. She's feeling bad when she should feel good, which is totally opposite of, in my experience, in doing coaching for 24 years. My experience is that most people feel good when they should feel bad. Karen, she feels bad when she should feel good, I think.
Karen, what do you think about that? You think that's true?
I do.
So, I appreciate your honesty. What do you think, how do you think we can help you with that, or how do you think you can help you with that?
I think it's sort of going back to the principle of, you know, the glass half empty or the glass half full. And I see what hasn't been done rather than what has been done.
Mm.
So it's focusing on the empty half of the glass rather than the full half of the glass, or merging the two.
I don't know when it'll be, a week, a day, an hour, this evening, tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to happen, but at some point, Kevin, if Karen does, you know, if she says what she said, I'm going to say, wow, it sounds like you're really miserable. You know, and she'll do whatever she does. She'll say, I am. And I'm like, wow. And it seems to me that you really enjoy being miserable. That is so awesome. I enjoy you being miserable too. That's way to go, Karen. So it's like my daughters at times when they're miserable, and I'm like, you know, you're miserable. You have miserable attitudes. And you're choosing to be, I'm not choosing to be miserable, Dad. I'm like, no, you really are. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Just be happy being miserable, because it's your choice.
Oh, my goodness. Steve, your thoughts.
Well, I wonder if part of it is personality. So I'm intrigued with what your personality is, Karen.
I'm an expressive, amiable.
I'm expressive, amiable. Hmm. Fascinating. Very people-oriented, then.
Yeah.
Hmm. This may be a wild guess, but typically there are three voices going on inside our heads. We have the voice of our present self, and we have the voice of what we would like to be, our future self, and we also have a voice that's stuck in our heads that really wasn't ours. It was the voice that we heard as we grew up, and I have no idea. I don't know you well enough to determine which voice you're listening to, but I know from my experience in teaching for many, many years, decades, in fact, that I had some students, I had some young folks that could not choose or could not celebrate the success that they were having. They couldn't celebrate a win because they had this voice stuck in their head from mom or dad or somebody else that, you know, you're a loser, you're a jerk, you're not worth anything. I actually heard a parent say something similar to that to his daughter, you know, and I called him on it. I said, we don't allow adults to talk to children that way at this school. And he said, it's my own daughter. And he started, you know, getting all up in my face. I said, I don't care what the relationship is. Adults don't talk to children that way at this school. And he kind of looked at me with an odd look. And but it was, I have no idea whether it had any long-term effect on him. But I was not going to allow him to say those things to his child or to any child. So I don't know.
Dwight and I have had this conversation. Dwight and I have had a similar conversation, and Dwight's take on this is interesting.
What is
but we're out of time.
I do have to jump on the call. I'm running into an appointment right now, but
okay.
This has
yep.
been a great call. Thank you all for your input and feedback. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, that'll be something for next time. If you're listening
to
the rebroadcast of this and say, wow, that was most intriguing, and I'd like to know what Dwight said, well, you got to come back next week. We'll look at it then. And if you've received benefit from this, then go to thevisionproject.net. That's thevisionproject.net. Then go to what's your biggest challenge? Then go to your help is needed. You'll be able to learn more about the Vision Project and even contribute to the group-funded app.
And if you have a question about the material in today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in from outside the United States, you can use our U.S.-based phone number at 630-393-9909. Again, that's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day.